Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit VoicesOfWrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey, kids, do you like professional wrestling? Wow, we like professional wrestling, too. This is Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Chris Novembrino.
It's music, true.
Yes, very true. Music-wise, rest in peace, Sinead O'Connor and Randy Meisner of the Eagles. Once again, after watching History of the Eagles documentary, Glenn Frey, worst person on earth. Don't like him at all. Bullied poor Randy to the point where he had to leave the band. But any quick thoughts on that before I get into my esoteric wrestling question of the week?
Sure. On Sinead O'Connor, I guess I would say that looking back at her career, I have a very different estimation of it at the time, where I thought like she was getting a bit of a bum rap, like living, you know, like in the 90s and stuff and growing up and watching old episodes of Saturday Night Live. It felt like she was getting a bum rap, but like now with the benefit of hindsight and all of the news stories and court cases and all of the things.
Well, hold on. What rap did you think she had in the 90s since I lived through them?
I think that she had basically the rap of being someone who was lobbying unfair complaints against the Catholic Church.
Okay.
That, like, it, essentially a bad apples argument. Oh, sure, this does happen. There are a few bad apples, but this was not something that the organization was pervasively trying to deny or anything like that. This is not something that, like, the Catholic Church was trying to cover up. And so when, you know, Sinead O'Connor is saying these things, she's being very unfair.
Gotcha.
And I think, you know, history has actually kind of borne out her position. And it makes, I look back at what she did as very brave, because I think she could have had a much more safe career that I don't think she would have been satisfied with. And she made a lot of great music along the way, but she also managed to, like, I don't know, speak to her values and what she truly believed. And I think that's admirable.
On to the wrestling question, because I woke up this morning with an epiphany, and I'm not sure if I'm correct, and I tend to bounce things off of you as opposed to the wrestling bubble, because you generally have different ideas of this. So on Wednesday's Dynamite, after this Britt Baker Taya Valkyrie 9-minute match, that I didn't think was very good, to be honest with you. It looked like both competitors got a bit winded. It looked like they were off on different pages at time, et cetera, et cetera. The director does a close-up of a sign that is front row center and very prominent out there that says, I believe the exact wording is, book the AEW women's division better. I'm not sure if that's the exact wording, but it's the approximation of what the sign said. Did you see the sign, Chris?
Yes, I did. I didn't understand the context when you sent me that first screen cap. And now, of course, I do. And it's like, whoa.
Why? Yes. Now,
he zoomed. It wasn't incidental. It was actually.
It was not incidental. Now, here is. Maybe you saw AEW women's division decide, hey, cut to that, and didn't see the sign or whatever. But here is my question. Because, okay, let's assume it wasn't an accident. Was it, hey, we've heard your concerns about the booking of the women's division, and we're going to try and do better in the future? Or, as I kind of posited to myself when I woke up this morning, what is the possibility that they were spiking the football here? And they said, see, we gave you a nice long 9-minute women's match, and we're here to look at what we did. Congratulate us right now, type of a thing. Am I being far too cynical about this?
Oh, that they're trying to congratulate themselves for that match.
Like spiking the ball on the one.
Oh. Oh,
because you don't put that sign on your television without some sort of purpose.
You had my gears turning as to what would be what they thought the message was of that.
Don't get me wrong. I am more inclined to go with the former, that they're going, okay, we're hearing the people who are complaining that we're not booking enough women on these shows, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a part of me that knows that AEW does have a very high opinion of itself at times in terms of how forward thinking they are.
Yes, particularly with regards to this women's division.
Yes.
And I mean, who among us does not enjoy, I believe they are called, they're not called Control. What is the Soraya faction?
The Outcasts?
The Outcasts. Who among us doesn't love them?
Fair enough. Look, the two most interesting women to me on their division right now, well, the ones that are still able to work and aren't injured, are Emi Sakura, who last seen on Ring of Honor and was only doing AEW Dark, and Athena, who's the Ring of Honor Women's Champion. There's nobody really all that compelling right now, and there's a lot of women on the roster that just aren't being used. Like, Willow is used a lot. Sky Blue is used far too much, in my opinion, at times. I mean, the Red Velvets of the world, the Yuka Sakazakis of the world, you know, a lot of those tertiary characters are nowhere to be found, and they have no room for them here. But it was just an interesting question that I woke up. I went, my God, what if they were actually congratulating themselves and it wasn't addressing the problem necessarily? It was more, we've addressed the problem. There you go. Because last week they did the 30-second Britt Baker squash match. This week we did the 9.5-minute Britt Baker match. You're welcome, America.
Oh yeah. Like this is the response. I mean, that is really overreading that sign, right? Like, I think for as not good as that squash match was, it was also a 30-second squash match. And the idea that the person going to the show the next week was like, I got to make a sign about this. I need to be heard. I need, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be quiet on this one. No, there are lines. And they got,
well, no, there's a segment of wrestling fans who want equal time, or, you know, proportionary time, I guess is the word I would use, for men and women's wrestling on the shows. And the fact that WWE right now is doing a really good job of booking their women's division. You may not like all the stories on there. They may not have, you know, they may not knock it out of the park every time, but they are giving time to the women and some of the stories. And a lot of those segments are the highest rated of the week, especially the ones involving Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. I mean, they've definitely made a new star in Rhea Ripley, and you sort of can't deny it anymore, even by the numbers. I mean, she's got star power right now. And AEW has not really been able to build a star like that since Britt Baker, and it feels like the Britt Baker star has sort of
waned a bit. Yes. You and I were both about to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can bring it back up in the Lazy River if we have to. It was just a question I want to ask you. News-wise, top story, Vince McMahon recovering from surgery. According to a report from TMZ, the 77-year-old had quote-unquote major surgery last week to correct an issue with his spine. The specific nature of McMahon's spinal issue is not clear, but the surgery was ultimately deemed a success. There is no timetable for his recovery. Fightful, following up on this, we've confirmed with WWE sources that the surgery took place last week, which kept him from doing any work on SmackDown or the Raw after. Overall, the surgery is said to have been near 5 hours long, and those close to him claim that it was a major life-altering operation, as it would be for anyone who underwent it. We asked WWE if this would affect his work moving forward, and we're not given a direct answer on that. However, we also learned that Triple H was not at WWE Raw this past Monday, and the show was run by Bruce Pritchard. However, Triple H is expected back imminently. I think I can now break the news. Vince McMahon's now a cyborg, and he's going to live forever.
You always scooped me on Mecha Vince. Here comes Vince.
Mecha Vince is real? The brain is in the robot?
He's getting the nanotech. That is what is going on.
It has happened, kids. He is going to outlive us all. And he's going to have that stupid stash on the robot, because I'm sure that was a specific request.
After the spinal surgery, however, he'll only be able to do the McMahon walk. One quirk of nanotech. That's how it works.
It's so interesting because he wants employees who don't have a spine. And
and instead, he's getting his reinforced. Coward.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
narcissist.
I'm thinking back brace, and you look at it. I mean, when he was doing that walk and everything, I mean, he is, number one, he has lifted heavy things for a lot of years of his life.
He put on way too much muscle up top,
yes,
especially in his midlife and mid later life, and the body can, you know, quote unquote, generate that muscle, but the actual bones and stuff can't support it. And he kept his weight up muscle wise for a very long time. And that's going to have adverse effects on the spine.
Took a lot of bumps, which also won't help the back any. Looked like he might have a bit of scoliosis as well. As someone who has slight scoliosis, but yeah, I guess we'll wait to see, but for right now, Voices of Wrestling, Shake Them Ropes reports, Mecha Vince is real, and it's spectacular. Moving on, it was confirmed to Fightful that all the alliterative nicknames on the July 17th Raw were a directive from Vince McMahon. Wasn't pushed nearly as hard on SmackDown on July 21st or Raw on July 24th, so it looks like it was just an idea he had, and that most thought was bad, and he gave up on it after. They are still doing new nicknames, of course, but not so many that it got silly with Dirty Dom and Big Bronson Reed and such, but not to where the announcers just sound so fake with one alliterative nickname after another. And I love this quote from Dave. Still, we did have Scintillating Santos Escobar. Oh, this was annoying. This was annoying a couple weeks ago. I just couldn't get over it. Brought up here on the show, but
Big Bronson Reed, something about the way Kevin Patrick would say Big Bronson Reed really got to me. Big Bronson Reed.
That's stage directions. That's him being produced to say, you gotta emphasize the big.
really punch the bees.
Punch the bees, because we are being alliterative, and that way people will remember these things, and that'll give them personality. Although I do think they have to keep Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom is good.
Dirty Dom is actually good. and you can then drop Mysterio and keep reminding him that he's Dominic Mysterio. Instead, he's Dirty Dom. There you go. See? Now we've separated him from his father and he can be his own character. But until we want to bring back the Mysterio last name, hopefully. NXT No Mercy is going to take place live from Bakersfield, California on Saturday, September 30th. I bring this up because that is an interesting venue for NXT to run. NXT has run Bakersfield before, and it tends to be one of those smaller house show venues that WWE runs when it comes out here. It's not quite Southern California, but it's not quite middle California. It's very much Bakersfield, often called meth capital of America. But it has a very vocal and active wrestling fandom. And so I find of all the venues, because like this week's NXT Great American Bash is in your former stomping grounds of Austin, Texas.
I did not stomp in Austin.
Oh, I thought you did.
I stomped in Dallas.
Well, I thought you went to Austin occasionally.
Like a couple of times.
Well, okay, Trisha lives in Austin. Okay, how about that? Super yeah. Fan Trisha, who always heckles us. You know, all Texas looks alike to me. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But no, that's an interesting place that they want to put a big event for No Mercy, as opposed to maybe other venues around the country or something like that, Chris? Any thoughts on that, or should I just move on?
Yeah, just move on.
Okay. Re-signing with AEW, Roosh. It was originally rumored that he was on his way to WWE, but apparently...
It was all Roosh?
apparently, according to sources within the WWE, and I believe this is Dave talking here, or no, it's Fightful talking, I think. One of the two. I want to give credit where credit's due, but I forgot to put it on my notes. That the offer was so astronomical in terms of money that there was no way WWE was going to be able to match it. And Punk has been pushing hard for Roosh to be brought over to be a Collider and be part of that team there. Is Roosh better off in AEW or WWE?
AEW.
I agree.
And I think in particular, especially as we're seeing a real bifurcation of the product between Collision and Dynamite, if Punk is interested in having him in Dynamite, that probably means he has something in mind for him.
Yeah, I think we're getting Los Ingobernables de AEW with him and Andrade and probably Dralistico. I don't know. There's a few luchadors in there you can add in if you wanted to, really. Bandito's there once his wrist heals. You could do a Commander if you wanted to.
You could make Gravity evil. That could be really fun.
Gravity is evil. Just as a general notion, maybe not the luchador.
Well, yes.
Look, when Newton knew what he was doing.
He shouldn't have invented that.
Should have invented it. Should have just let us all float.
Everything was going fine.
They're all airborne and flying until Newton discovered gravity.
You only touched
the ground. F that guy.
Back before, was it 1611 or something like that? Like, if you wanted to touch the ground, you had to fly down to it.
We were all superheroes, and then Newton had to ruin everything for everybody. Screw him.
No, everyone could fly, so it wasn't like anyone was, like, superheroes.
That's true. That's true.
You still had to train.
Production-wise, AEW gave Scotty Tuhati a producer tryout this past week. Chris Hero has been hired full-time. And in addition to his active in-ring schedule, Orange Cassidy reportedly has a new role backstage as well, being a producer agent for the company. Any thoughts on any of those three?
Chris Hero is a great wrestling mind.
Chris Hero is a great.
He's definitely a great wrestling mind, and I don't know where Scott Taylor's, you know, like, I mean, I know he's had some good matches. I know he's, like, not a slouch by any means.
Scotty used to be an agent over for WWE.
Yeah.
Long time, from what I remember, at least somewhat. And then got, he was one of those guys who kept getting cut and then rehired and then cut and rehired. He knows showmanship. But yeah, and I find Orange Cassidy getting more power backstage of some interest. He's older than some people think he is. He's 39.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing this a long time. He was in Chikara for a very long time, in Ring of Honor as well. But it looks like they're promoting from within, which I also think is a very intriguing move. Now you're going to start having... You're going to have AEW-style producers producing AEW, which I think is... It's a plus... To me, I mean, it's fascinating to me. Like, half of WWE's producers are ex-Impact TNA guys. You know, the older members of AEW's production staff are all ex-WWE. So, yeah, it's interesting. Injury news. Angles were run on Raw this past week to cover for real-life injuries with Liv Morgan and Kevin Owens, who are going to be out for a little while. Scorpio Sky also injured, removed from AEW Rampage match. Tony Khan delivered that news to the live crowd after AEW Dynamite.
I don't know that I have any additional. Okay.
That is all I have for the news. Do you want to congratulate Hulk Hogan on being engaged again to a 45-year-old yoga instructor?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. if there's ever someone who I think should get infinity chances, it's Hulk Hogan, who is the poster boy of men who get infinity chances.
I still think he leaked his own sex tape, but that's me. I can't prove it, but, you know, that's me. that's the end of the news. Now to the Lazy River, whatever we watched this week, and good Lord, there keeps being content added every single week. Whatever we watch, whatever we're thinking about, whatever is going on in the news of professional wrestling that either Chris or I want to bring up, we will bring that here. We will start, as per tradition, when there is a special live event, with a preview of it this weekend. It's NXT's turn. The aforementioned not in Chris's stomping grounds of Austin, Texas at the HEB Center. NXT Great American Bash 2023. 7 matches on your card. Starting with the pre-show match, an 8-person mixed tag match. Dragon Lee, Nathan Frazier, Ulyssa Leone, and Valentina Faraz versus The Metaphor. Great name. Mid-stable, Noam Dar, Oro Mensah, Jakara Jackson, and Lash Legend.
I think we might be putting the heels over here.
Oh, we definitely are putting the heels over here, and they're beating one of the women.
Yeah, getting Lash Legend over specifically.
And Jakara, yeah, and you don't want to beat Lee and Frazier, who are two of your workhorses right now in NXT.
Sure.
Where should we begin on this? Good Lord. Let's start, with a fun match, I think. triple threat for the NXT North American Championship. Your champion, Dirty Dominic Mysterio, taking on Mustafa Ali and Wesley. No relation. This could be a lot of fun, or this could be a mess, depending on how Dominic works with these two.
Right. There's going to be a lot of dominant-dependent antics here. And I think also Mustafa Ali has an important role to play in all of this in terms of keeping things interesting.
Yes.
He has to kind of flip sides, or I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he has to kind of go in a number of different
directions. He is already kind of heel, even though he hasn't officially turned heel, I don't believe. Has he? I don't think so. They're doing this weird thing where they're toeing the line, where you've seen him do heel stuff, but he's not a heel just yet. I could see the crowd getting confused on this, where he's like a babyface against Dom, but a heel against Wes.
Right. You know? Right. And that's almost kind of like what I would want him to be doing.
Yeah.
Like a fake baby face against Dom, basically just using the crowd, like manipulating the crowd.
Yeah, doing the fire up spots, all that other stuff.
Yeah. And then like immediately whenever Wes gets back in, like doing a chop block or something dastardly to Wes, like to reassert his heelness.
Does Dominic lose this title?
No, not at all.
Not a damn chance in hell. Not when you have a hot stable like the Judgment Day. You're not taking the title off him just yet. In a submission match for the NXT Women's Championship, Tiffany Stratton versus Thea Hale with the boys from Chase University. I love Thea Hale. I love Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton's winning this, and I assume it will be with the help of Regal's kid and
Charlie Dempsey and Drew Gulak.
I assume that maybe they've taught her something, or they will interfere on behalf or something.
I'll give you at least one more way this could go.
Okay.
Thea Hale loses and she rejects Chase University and then goes back and sides with Regal and Charlie Dempsey.
Gulak and Charlie Dempsey.
Yeah, Gulak and
I wouldn't mind that necessarily. I don't think it's time for heel Thea Hale.
Thea Hale. Let's go.
I'll give you a third option here. Thea gets a visual win again. Think she's won it, starts celebrating, and then gets beat when she's like taken from behind by Tiffany Stratton in some sort of submission, and then ends up getting hoisted on her own petard. I think this match will be fun though.
Yeah, she's losing no matter what.
She's losing no matter what, but you know, Tiffany Stratton brings it in big situations, and Thea Hale, she's not bad. She's an over the top far too playing to the back seats of the arena type of actress, but she's not a bad athlete. And I think this match might sneak up on people. I think for the tag team titles of NXT, Gallus, Mark Coffey and Wolfgang with Joe Coffey versus the family of Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stax Lorenzo.
All right, so we have it's Channing Stax Lorenzo versus who?
It's the Italians versus the Scots.
Oh, the Scots, that's right. Oh yeah, yeah, Gallus. The charges got dropped against Tony D. You have to consider that. Because at one point, you remember they have to consider that.
Why? What advantage does he give them in the match, Chris?
Well, there's been a lot of moving pieces recently.
Oh, the stress has been relieved.
Absolutely.
So he can focus.
He no longer has to deal with the legal quandary.
This is like the NBC Sports breakdown of NXT. Yeah. You know, the charges have been dropped, so he can focus now on being a better athlete. Yeah,
he can focus on the game that he loves. And
I'm going title change.
Are you going? You want the Italians win? Italians win. Italians.
Yeah. Tony D'Angelo is sneaky good, and he's homegrown, and it's time for that to come in. Perhaps even with the help of the Creeds, who are running around here in in dyad masks. In his debut in a singles match, Gable Stevenson versus Baron Corbin.
I think Baron Corbin is taking the L on this one, brother.
I think he's taking the L. I'm just fascinated at what this match will be. I really am. Because they have put a lot into Gable. A lot. And we've seen he can throw people.
Right? I mean, the thing about this match, in order for this match to be good, in my estimation, is that Gable Stevenson has to really dominate Baron Corbin and toss him around a bunch. And it'll be an interesting test to see if he can do that.
In a weapons wild match, Roxanne Perez versus Blair Davenport. Tiny women with big weapons. Since I didn't watch all of NXT, can you remind me who won the fight in the convenience store? Who got the upper hand on that?
No. You remember we talked about this. I started watching NXT and I fell asleep during the fight.
Yes, like, we did not talk about it on air, though. That's the problem.
No. We talked about pre-show, but like this is a thing where like I made it. Did Roxanne come out on top of that? I think she might have.
I think she might have. So I think Blair's going to win. This feels like the Bailey on the main roster story they're going to do, which is she's too nice to use these weapons against somebody. Even though she's been shown to have anger issues by attacking people in convenience stores and whatnot. I think Roxanne Perez is taking the L here. I can't get my head around it, but I think she's taking the L.
They like keep wanting to try with Blair Davenport, but I'll never see it.
I'll never see it either. I'm not. And also, just too much lingering baggage for me from AEW stuff that she did. But if Roxanne Perez wins this, she should be next for Tiffany Stratton. They should rebuild her. They're dancing around here. I can see Roxanne having to go back to fighting Cora Jade again or someone, or maybe even Rhea, who knows, but yeah. And then for your singles match for the NXT Championship, Carmelo Hayes with Trick Williams taking on Ilya Dragunov. And I'm here to tell you, Chris, I know the ending of this already. Braun Breaker spears Ilya. and that's how it ends. And then he spears Carmelo and Trick after they get the win.
Oh, we're just building a Breaker Melo 3?
Yes.
It is the best angle that they have right now for that title scene. Ilya's not the best foil for Melo.
He's great, though.
He's great. Melo would be lit if he didn't have Trick Williams still.
Yeah, and they really want to make Trick Williams a thing.
They do.
Yeah.
It is absolutely happening at the expense of Melo.
I agree. He is not a strong champion. He was strong in the chase. And then all of a sudden they had to make this an act. And so we have to give Trick Williams equal time. And I think what's going to happen is the justification is going to be Braun's going to say, if anybody's going to beat you, it's going to be me. So he takes out Ilya Dragunov. That's how I'm viewing it. But
yeah, no. Dragunov's not winning. There's not no way.
No.
Melo retains. Absolutely.
No, and there's going to be a lot of moving parts on this match. It's not going to be a pure one-on-one match. it'll be a fun time to waste some time on a Sunday. I believe it's a Sunday, July 30th. Yeah. Cedar Park, Texas, the HEB Center. Tickets still available if you'd like to go. That'll do it for our NXT preview. Chris, go ahead and get the rest of the Lazy River started. What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about gravity. I got to start.
Really?
I got to start on gravity. And like you're asking me, you
of
know,
all
I,
the things you want to talk about. You want to talk about this match wrapped around a bad joke.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Expound.
why do we need to keep bringing in these lucha jobbers? Like, yet again, this had to be the goofiest one yet, with the slow walking and everything. It really irritated me, Jeff. I hate the gimmick. I hate it. Like, I hate it to my core. Like, this guy doing the moonwalk and everything and the slow motion stuff in the entrance, I was like, nope, can't do it. Hate this guy. And you know, he has some nice moves or whatever. So does Bandito. So does Commander. So does like,
how did you feel about the, during the match promos that, Pac was cutting on the man as the man who gravity forgot, you will remember me. Oh, I hated this so much. I
so bad. It was it was a meta joke. Yes.
Yes.
Adrian Neville.
This should have been a 30-second match, but we had to give Gravity his stuff because he looked so impressive on the ROH pay-per-view and got a win.
Yeah.
They're booking ROH pay-per-view wins to get onto AEW television when nobody pays attention to these ROH pay-per-views. 10,000 people.
It's not a deep take, but it's like moments like this where you're like, what the fuck? I'm sorry. What am I watching right now?
No, that's fine. No, but the same thing happened with the Moxley attack on Orange Cassidy. Apparently, he came out during the ROH pay-per-view. Something happened with the best friends in the tag match, I guess. And it's like, show us then. Show us why I'm watching Moxley beat up Orange Cassidy then, as opposed to they just alluded to it in the Blackpool Combat Club promo afterwards. And you're like, I have no idea that happened. Well, don't you watch all the product? No. I got a life. There's 30 hours of wrestling a week. I got to cover some of it for the Lazy River. That's why it's lazy.
Yeah, we can't do 11 hours. It's too much.
Well, with Ring of Honor, it would have been 14 because that Ring of Honor pay-per-view took three more hours.
And even if you do a condensed edit, you're still at like 7 or 8 hours of wrestling.
Overall, yeah. I thought Dynamite was kind of mid. And I thought Collision for the first week since its debut wasn't very well planned and wasn't very good. I couldn't believe that they literally took a WWE trope and did the parade of continuing promos to start the show to then lead to a match because there wasn't a lineup planned for the show until these promos all happened. And let me holla at you, playa. We made a tag team match type of thing. It reeked of SmackDown 2005. You know, you had Starks came down and then Punk came down and then Darby came down and then Christian came down and then we had a tag match. It's like, my God, don't be that company with better people. Just be your company and show that, hey, we've planned a card tonight to do these types of things. We'll do that match next week and build to that. But it drove me nuts. The thing I wanted to bring up first for me on what show was it? Oh, Dynamite.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The AR Fox story. That was a one-night angle. I don't mind one-night angles. I actually thought the
that
video...
That might have been the strongest point on the show for me.
It was.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that made it a great show. I just thought that the AR Fox stuff was like probably the best stuff that was on this show.
Well, this should have been a four-week angle to me. Oh, that sure. was my issue with it. Like, I loved the promo to set up the match. I thought that was great with the video showing it. But you have AR Fox lose here. That's fine. And you have him knock out Orange Cassidy after the match. That's cool. And then you get Darby angry at it. And then you let it simmer for a while. And then maybe Nana passes him in the hallway or somebody gives him a note or something. And AR Fox is still stewing. Because right now, Darby's going to be Sting or Jimmy Valiant and all his friends are going to turn on him. I'm fine with that. But you don't have to do it all in one night. You don't have to do the, he loses, he gets angry, he turns on Darby, and he takes the money and joins the heels all in one night. That can be a procession here. But the other problem is that this is AR Fox. And I like AR Fox. I think WWE, there's like three wrestlers right now doing most of AR Fox's moves that are getting far more credit than AR Fox is. But what is the, where is he on the pecking order of important things that we need to build, given that we're a month away from the biggest show in Wembley with 10,000 tickets that could still be sold, and we haven't gotten a single damn match for this pay-per-view announced yet. Again, I like AR Fox. I liked the angle. I think they could have spaced it out a little bit more. That is only my point. Your turn, Chris.
No, I don't disagree with that. I was just saying that on a show that I otherwise thought was fairly weak.
Yeah.
I thought that that was maybe the most intriguing thing, but then like he gets aligned with the embassy, which is a faction I just am not super excited about or anything.
It just screams, I'm the guy who's taking the losses in this tag team with Swerve against Nick Wayne and that.
Oh, we have reunited the Lucha Underground pairing of Swerve and AR Fox though.
That's true.
Yeah. Killshot and I think he was just AR Fox or something.
He was. Or no, he was something. It was Fox, but it was different initials.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah. Like LT Fox or something like that.
DC
yeah.
Fox or AK Fox or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Man. Was there anything else on Dynamite that really caught my attention? Okay. I'm just not super excited about the angle involving the embassy, but that bump off of the top, the Death Valley driver onto the side of the apron to the outside was insane that Swerve did to Darby Allin. I also would argue that that should be a finishing type of move and something you use in a pay-per-view, but maybe that's just old Chris talking here.
Before we leave Dynamite, I have something, if you don't mind.
Okay. Sure.
So we bring out Jack Perry and his terrible Beethoven theme song. Not getting over, I'm sorry. Jack Perry, not the strongest promo in the world, but he's working on it. Starting to get, I mean, they're directing him to take a break and look at the audience too much, in my opinion, to get heat. And he's getting heat. And I don't mind that. But he's cutting this promo, and it's not going great on the FTW Championship. And he's starting to cut the promo on Taz that we've been waiting for. You and I have been waiting for the pivot to go hard on Taz as Hook's daddy. And then who do they bring out to respond? The one guy in the back who is weaker on promos than Jack Perry is? Jerry Lynn. To do an angle that we've now seen in Impact and 20 other smaller companies and even WWE to respect, that ECW somehow built this industry. And I assume we're getting somebody from the ECW lore to face Jack Perry. Which, when in essence, all we really want is Taz to cut a promo on Jack Perry. That's all this angle really needs right now. And for Taz to be the guy to bring it in.
Taz underreacting to what's happening.
Yes.
That's not really what the FTW titles, you know, supposed. That's not how you're not supposed to do that. Like, okay, Taz, cool. That's real heat, boy. I care about this now.
I want Taz to talk about why he built that. I mean, be Team Taz again, and explain what that FTW title meant to you in your career when you were in ECW and you thought you should be the world champion, but Shane Douglas was too popular, or whatever, you know. Give me some fired up Taz here. Give me somebody who's fired up. Jerry Lynn is not the definition of fired up, and somebody need to carry the emotion of that scene. And they weren't getting there. And then Jack Perry has to do that. I don't have my gear on right now. I gotta go. It was such a miss for a guy that needs to be heated up. And it's just,
I totally thought he was going to low blow Jerry Lynn. I didn't think this was actually going to build to a match.
I don't think it's going to build to a match. They're apparently having a... Jerry Lynn will address Jungle Boy next week or something like that.
Oh, I see. No, yeah, I actually mean I was kind of...
I was thinking match too, but apparently Jerry Lynn can't do a match. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know. I figured he can't, or like he, you know, doesn't have. I didn't think it was gonna be like a real match. I thought it was gonna be like Jack Perry just ambushes him.
Here comes Tommy Dreamer.
Oh God. Oh man.
Oh, I do not need Tommy Dreamer.
I mean, like, you're gonna get that. You're gonna get.
Bully Ray's campaigning.
Absolutely, right? You're going to get a parade of your nostalgia from ECW. Each one of them will lose in their own way to Jack Perry, and that's what we're going to make, like, the FTW title the ECW, like, tribute title for a moment.
Yeah. Hunter Q Robbins the Third needs a payday.
There is CW Anderson still wrestling?
Yeah, I think in the Indies. Rhino's still around. We could bring him in.
And that'd be sick. Let's bring in CW and Rhino.
The guy to bring in is Too Cold Scorpio, who's still working and still awesome.
That would actually be sweet.
I would love that.
I mean, look.
And even do it in the vein of we're bringing in Scorpio. Scorpio Sky, I've beaten him before. No, Too Cold Scorpio.
I don't think they're going to go super long with this based on the hook vignette. So I think they're only going to do one or two. But, man, this would actually be a good way to push Jack Perry as a heel. Just have him, like, keep beating, like, a, you know, an old ECW veteran, you know, periodically here. And yeah, there are actually a surprising number of them who are still somewhat active or active enough that they could come in and do, like, a match or a smoke and mirrors match and make it work. Yeah. Hoovy. Let's go.
And then it ends with LA Park coming in and just killing him. Oh, I'd be all for that. Your turn, sir.
Okay. Then outside of that, the Jericho and Don Callis stuff is not intriguing to me in the slightest. This I think is subtraction by addition here, where you've like added the Jericho Appreciation Society to whatever Don Callis's nefarious angle was, and like it has downcycled Don Callis's angle and not elevated the Jericho Appreciation Society in any way, shape, or form. Like, I don't know if this is helping. I don't know this is helping either faction long term. So I'm perplexed, like, what we're doing here.
I think we're getting an interesting split. But again, I have thought that there would be at least three horsemen beatdowns along the way in the history of AEW that have not happened yet. But I think there's a possibility that Garcia and Guevara are part of Callis's family, or they will be offered the chance to be in Callis's family after this tag match, which Jericho is going to take the fall in the Takeshita Jericho team. And then Callis is going to stick the boots to Jericho with Takeshita. And I think Guevara and I think Sammy and why do I always blank on his name?
Sammy and Garcia.
And Garcia. What's Garcia's first name?
Daniel.
Daniel, thank you. I always want to call him Danny, but that's the Rock's wife, ex-wife. Garcia and Guevara are going to join with Callis. I think that's the move here. And then the rest of the Jericho Appreciation Society will somehow end up with Jack Perry when Anna Jay joins him finally. Stealing a line from my boy BOC, Brian O'Connell, former Shake Them Ropes guest. Real opportunity lost here when Jericho and Daddy Magic are talking and him not saying, "Want to know what makes Daddy Magic's nipples soft?" I think Jericho's going to go away for a while, tour with Fozzy in Europe for the rest of the summer. I would love emo Jericho in the rafters watching like Sting in 95, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh my God. But he would actually like this, because it would just give him a chance to like walk off and do a reboot when he comes back.
Yes. He's trying to think he's going to come in with some sort of fiery babyface character based on some movie character. And that's what he's looking to reinvent himself. And this is a way to write him off. That's my opinion.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too here, that like, yes, everyone. Okay. You got me here. The JAS turns on Jericho.
Well, the JAS just don't save him. I think Guevara and Garcia go with Don though, and Takeshita, because somebody needs to be lackeys for that faction. So we're just gonna go to that. I'm gonna go to WWE main roster. As we were talking pre-show, Raw, I thought was a strong show. Or at least watchable. Look, I'm not going to say there was a lot of five-star matches and stuff, but the promos are interesting. Cody Rhodes continues to be one of the most interesting people in wrestling. Still, I'm actually excited for this match with him. It's weird that Sammy and Kevin feel so cooled off as tag team champions, because they're taking back seats to Dominic and the Judgment Day, and they're also taking backseats to this Bloodline thing going on SmackDown. And we do not give SmackDown enough flowers, because we generally record on the same night as SmackDown. But Jay and Roman sit down talking tribal rules or whatever it is for this match was fun stuff, where the elders who are off-screen characters are involved and we're supporting this whole thing. Paul Heyman calling himself the Juso is funny to me. I don't care what anybody else thinks. But I'll bring up a problem here that WWE does have. LA Knight is super, super, super over. He has, I believe, four of the top five top-selling t-shirts. Maybe it's three of the top five top-selling t-shirts. He comes out, everybody sings along with his promos, and then he loses, because they don't want to push him necessarily. He's not their guy, but he should be their guy. He does everything that they want. He's making them a lot of money. And I'm not saying you belt him with the big belt, but are you telling me he's not good enough to be in this North American title match and we have to give it to Rey Mysterio instead against Grayson Waller?
I think I say him higher. I think after Jey Uso loses, just to move the Bloodline storyline away from just internal squabbling. Have LA Knight come out here and basically paintbrush Roman Reigns. That would light stuff on fire.
I think that'd be a hot program.
I think so too. That like he just doesn't he's just completely uninterested in any of the family dynamic.
Santos Escobar won that four way. I think I'm misremembering things all of a sudden, but Cameron Grimes was in there too. Hey, we got a Cameron Grimes sighting finally back on SmackDown.
But yeah, I would have LA Knight's downfall essentially be the fact that he sort of
Icarus.
He's so singularly focused on Roman Reigns that, like, because he's like, I just don't have any time for any of your family crap, that's ultimately what bites him in the ass long-term in the feud.
Okay. I encourage you to go back and watch the reaction he got on last week's SmackDown. It is... We've talked about LA Knight here for a few years. We talked about him in NXT when he made that pivot to being the NXT black and gold babyface. And you're like, what the hell's going on here? Because he's uber, uber popular now with that NXT crowd. And this is before he got released. And then he gets brought back. He's doing Maximum Male Models. They drop him. Triple H drops him for that after Vince leaves, because Vince didn't see him as a wrestler. They put him out there. And he is a... Look, he has... Again, we always have to give the caveat. Yes, he's kind of doing a rock stone cold diction / delivery type thing.
But even in the bumping, his bumping is kind of reminiscent of the way The Rock would bump.
It's main event WWE style. That's all it is. I mean, this is what they've wanted out of people for years. And they're like, well, we can't put The Rock into him because he doesn't work our main event style. Well, here's LA Knight. He's a little older than you want him to be. But you know, he does his very short stanzas in the promo so that people can go, yeah, afterwards. It boggles my mind that they're leaving the money on the table. That's all I'm saying here.
I'm with you. You just, you know, you go with him for like 3 years and you see what you got.
Not even 3 years, 3 months.
Well,
see if he can carry a main event program.
His long-term run is like 3 years, right? You know, like what's this guy's ultimate length? Maybe five.
Yeah. I'd say three tops.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. So, yeah.
You don't need to make him the face of your company.
No, but you should see what you got with him for sure.
You should see if you can draw with him. It's an amazing piece of work because you watch these things. And I think there are guys that this happens to. It's happened with Zack Ryder at one point in his career when his internet show took off and then people in crowds started really, really cheering for him. And then they started bringing out Kane to kill him all the time.
Right.
What's another example that you can think of this kind of thing with WWE where they're really, where
Sandow.
The fans. Who?
Damian Sandow.
Sandow. That's a good one. Yeah.
I mean, people wanted him to get the briefcase, and they did that, but with extreme reluctance. And they hated that was in a particular, like the peak of them really resenting the fans wanting specific outcomes in their television show.
Benoit.
Yeah.
He shall not be named. I mean, yeah. he just got over by being a bully in the ring. And they didn't want him because they didn't view him as sexually attractive enough. In a story that is part of WWE lore. It's one of those things where it's like, dude, he's selling so much damn merchandise. You got to see what you got with them because he's a moneymaker. You know, kind of like, they pushed Enzo for less.
I mean, they didn't really push Shinsuke Nakamura. They gave up on Shinsuke Nakamura pretty quick.
Was he selling merch?
I thought he was moving some merch.
I mean, he was doing well with the Boogs gimmick for a while, but he came in. Yeah, they pushed him, and what really killed him was the. You remember the dream match story with AJ Styles?
Yes.
Where everybody thought, oh, we're getting a balls, New Japan style singles match, and then AJ Styles just kicked him in the balls.
Yep.
Womp womp. Here you go, Shin. I got nothing else. What do you have?
Let me see here. Was there anything else on Raw? You know, Raw otherwise was a pretty watchable show. You know, I like Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, I think, is actually a nice choice for the tag champion.
They make me laugh.
Yeah, no, they work for me.
Chelsea Green is fantastic. I said this last week. Number one, she'll take a bump for anybody and make them look good. She has sneaky good comedic timing as the flake half of this team. And then Sonya Deville can just stand there and scowl and be fine with me. I like Sonya Deville a lot. Always. I miss the suits. I was a big fan of Sonya Deville's suit game. But I like them as a team. And I think they're perfect foils for the Katana Chance, Caden Carter team, too.
I agree. I think Alpha Academy needs to be winning more at this point.
Yes.
I think it's time for them to be less just purely comedy baby faces and also like actually formidable at this point.
The focus is wrong. They're focusing on the women of right. both the Valhalla.
Valhalla and Maxine.
And that's the wrong focus.
I agree. They basically have, I mean, I think with Down with Chase U, they basically have the right template for what should be happening with this Alpha Academy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. The thing with Chase U, I need to see a merger also. Chase U and Alpha Academy merger.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Thea Hale's really the star of Chase U. Maxine is not the star of Alpha Academy. And she should be a sideshow versus the main focus, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, but that's also because they've never fully committed to Chad Gable as the main character, which
that's true because he's short.
Yep.
Even though he's awesome.
I know. Oh, I mean, this is a guy who I think they've criminally underutilized, like throughout the entirety of his career.
I like heel Shinsuke Nakamura. I think if we're not going to put Boogs with him anymore, I think this is an appropriate thing at his age, and I'm kind of here for Tommaso Ciampa and Shinsuke Nakamura. I like Tommaso Ciampa a lot.
I do too. I'm with you. I think heel Shinsuke is probably better than face Shinsuke at this stage. Although we'll see if the audience fully bites on it. Like he might have to be like a real. It might be hard to make him a heel if you don't sufficiently make him dastardly.
Yeah. You know what he needs? He needs a stable. And to be part of a stable, not the head of a stable, but because WWE does stables poorly, in my opinion, in terms of it's always like a star, a guy who's going to turn on the star, and a red shirt, and sometimes a woman. If it's on Raw, so there's no stable to be had there. If he were on SmackDown, he'd be a sneaky good candidate for Bobby Lashley's stable that's starting to form over there with the Street Profits.
Mm.
But I think they're just going to do Hurt Business 3.0 or whatever it is over there. But Shinsuke would be a good silent enforcer for like a stable, like a Dolph Ziggler if they ever decide to push him again as the head of a stable type of a thing. He'd be good as Dolph's go-to to kill somebody. I think that'd be a good thing, but right now we're just gonna have to enjoy it for what it is. I think he's just mainly there to get, I don't know, is he there to just get Tommaso over? How about Shinsuke as Miz's heavy?
I mean, Shinsuke, okay, Miz, Shinsuke, and Bronson Reed.
I'm kind of there for that.
That could be a faction.
That could be an interesting faction. As long as Miz is not the focal point, Miz is kind of the boss type of a thing. Yeah. I got nothing else.
Me neither.
All right, cool. We'll wrap it up there. This has been Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. You can follow me on X. I guess we're calling X now. The platform formerly known as Twitter at CrapGame13. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes, all one word. You can follow Chris on Instagram at @DOCTOR_Nove. That is Dr. Nove, for those who know how to spell.
I will not be joining X.
No, he's on Threads.
No, I think that, I don't know where that is.
Don't join Threads because you can never get rid of it without deleting your account. So that's.
Okay. Oh, so it's actually like an additional add-on thing to Instagram.
Yes.
I'm on Instagram. That's really the important.
He's on the gram. He plays guitar. He does his thing.
I do my thing.
Let me get my plugs first.
Okay.
I'm also on Fight Game Media on Wednesdays doing the Dynamite Show. Patreon.com/Dynamite. Patreon.com/Fight Game Media. $5 a month. Hot takes. Thorough deconstruction with myself and Paul Ace Fontaine over there. If you're part of Fight Game, go listen to David Lovell's show. I picked 15 random songs for his jukebox show. Some interesting choices. I got some interesting feedback from that. But yeah, Chris teaches guitar. He's a man about Albuquerque, New Mexico.
If you follow me next week, I will be posting pictures of me riding on top of the Sandia Peak tramway. So from base at 6,500 feet all the way up to 10,300 feet.
And do you have a harness for that?
Yes, they are. They are indeed including the coward's rope.
Thank you. Well, no, I just get nervous about those things.
Oh, God, no, I would never do it without
on top of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. You like get like actually harnessed in and stuff. There's like and you have like a vest thing that holds you in place. You're very cinched in. But yeah, no, it's part of the training to be the cabin operator for the Sandia Peak tram. And I'm like, all right, got to do it at least once. And I will just, try not to freak out as I'm on the top. Like, I definitely will not be looking down too much.
Public transit, Chris Novembrino.
I know. Well, actually, it's privately owned, so it's not even public transit.
Want to get any plugs in for your guitar lessons?
Yeah, I do want guitar lessons, people. You should hit me up on the gram, Instagram.com/Dr_Nov. I will actually, if you're listening to this, be doing a free session here on Sunday evening. If you are interested in a link for the free session, it's open to all who want to use the link. I will be shooting that off late Sunday afternoon. So message me and I will get you that link. Hope to see, anyone who's listening here.
I have nothing to tag on that.
There you go.
Cheering at pro wrestling shows in Japan is back, and 2023 is already shaping up to be a big year in the history of pro res. That's why you should listen to the Emerald Flow Show. From the Royal Road to the Green Mat, Paul and Gerard take you into the world of All Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling NOAH. Not only do we analyze events, but we examine business, who is getting over, what angles are working or not. Occasionally, we take a look at other Japanese promotions like DDT and Zero One. So if you're looking for more coverage of the world of Japanese wrestling, check out the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.